I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A new movie having its world premiere this week at the Vancouver International Film Festival is the latest from the Academy Award-winning filmmaker John Zaritsky. It's called A Different Drummer, Celebrating Eccentrics. It's a charming film about some interesting people in the United States, Britain, and Canada who challenge people's conception of convention. It's in colorful and unique ways. They seem happier in worlds that they cultivate that seem different from what some might call normal. The relevant question seeing this film is, what is normal? John Zaritsky joins me again. We'll talk about this film, the people he talks to in it. There's a guy in Utah who lives in caves and who hasn't used money since the 1990s. In Britain, we meet a member of the fringe monster-raving loony political party, an inventor of inventions that would confound even Rube Goldberg, as well as a woman who was a model for the artist Lucian Freud. In Vancouver, we meet Laura K. Prophet, a woman who's popularly known as the city's duck lady, walking around with a duck giving money to the homeless. Throughout the film, we get the research done by Dr. David Weeks, a neuropsychologist and psychotherapist who's spent a decade studying 1,000 eccentrics. It's quite an informative, heartbreaking at times, but generally uplifting film. There are two screenings of the film, Wednesday, the 8th of October at 7 p.m. at the Rio Theater, where Laura K. Prophet and her duck will attend, and a second screening at SFE Woodward's on Friday, the 10th of October at 1:15. Visit VIFF.org for tickets and information. John Zaritsky directed A Different Drummer. He won an Oscar for his documentary, Just Another Missing Kid, and he's won countless other awards for his long list of film credits. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, John Zaritsky. Mr. Zaritsky, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So as I told you before we started, I really enjoyed this film. I'm interested to know how you came to do it. Are you an oddball yourself?
Well, I guess I have to come out of the closet now that I've finished this film. I was examined by the expert, the guy that did the study on eccentrics, Dr. David Weeks, and he put me through the psychological tests and questions that he had posed to the 1,000 subjects in his study. And his conclusion was that I am certifiably eccentric.
Yeah, did that change anything for you, for your life, say?
Not really. I think that I have, you know, as I got older, become more eccentric. I think I was in the closet during my 20s and 30s and only started to sort of come out of the closet in my 40s.
Uh-huh. And did you, I mean, is it something that you readily embrace now? I guess you do, right?
Well, I mean, working with the wonderful people that I did work with, the eccentrics that are in the film, they inspired me a great deal, and their example has made it, as a result, you know, I've certainly, in the last year, become way more comfortable with accepting that I am eccentric, and that's fine.
Yeah. How did you come to find the people that are in this film?
Well, half of them came out of the study, Dr. Weeks' study. They were participants in the study. And the other half I found on the Internet, which is such a wonderful research tool that you can find anything anywhere on the Internet.
Yeah, and I guess the Internet is something that eccentrics use. The guy at the beginning of the film, he writes a blog, the fellow that lives in caves in Utah, right?
Right. Yeah, no, they were, the problem I had, Joe, was I had such an abundance of riches, such a wide variety of choices, I could have made 10 hours or, you know. And so the difficult part of it, creatively, was to finally determine which 7 living characters would I focus the film on, because, as you know, there's a number of historical eccentrics in the film as well as the living ones.
Yeah, I learned a lot from Mr. Holloway in San Francisco about Martin Van Buren.
Yeah.
The former president was a great eccentric himself.
Yeah, no, I was areas was tremendously funny and informative at the same time on the subject of not only Martin Van Buren, who was considered probably the worst U.S. president in history, to anything you care to know about anything in San Francisco, Garius, and encyclopedia.
Yeah, that struck me about him, and I guess this is a trait that eccentrics have, is that they have a lot of hobbies.
Yes, they do. They usually have 5, 6, 7 hobbies. Their hobbies play a big, big part in their lives, and they're very obsessive about their hobbies and spend hours a day doing them, you know. But that's why they're such fun people to hang out with, you know. I've never had so much fun in my life shooting any of my previous films as I did with this one. It was a joy to get up and go out and hang out with them for another day, you know.
Yeah, like Gary, he gives tours.
Yeah.
To tourists in San Francisco, and he's a very sociable sort of fellow, but what I was struck by him was what he said that if he didn't need contact, if he needed contact, he could certainly go out and get it with friends or with other people, but if he didn't, he could also just slip away and be off with himself, and that was fine. I guess that's something that eccentrics have to deal with, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people think of eccentrics as being sort of lone wolves, don't have much to do with lonely people. But in fact, the opposite is the reality and the truth as I experienced it with my eccentrics. They were, even the guy who lives in a cave and without money has a whole circle of friends that he's had for years in a nearby town, and he likes to go into town and he hangs out at the library, and you know, everybody gives him a wave because everybody knows, you know, Daniel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, the duck lady who has lived alone, Vancouver's duck lady,
mm-hmm.
has lived alone in a downtown poor hotel with a series of ducks for 20 years, and you think, well, is she going to be very sociable? Well, you know, you set her loose on Granville Street with her duck Bobby, and, you know, she attracts crowds, and people come up to her, and she's, you know, conversing with everybody, and very social, you know. And so they're very surprising individuals, I found, and quite, they were people that were different than I expected them to be.
Yeah, the woman from Connecticut, Darla, she's got a husband, children, and she's out and about. She's got every hobby. She plays musical instruments. She started her own band. So there's that angle to it as well, right? That she, here's someone who does a lot of sort of socializing with people at the same time, as well as being eccentric.
Absolutely. You know, she wears a fireman's coat to work, to university, where she, you know, teaches graduate students, and nobody bats an eye because Darla's just dressed up in her fireman's coat, you know, and that's the way Darla lives, and she lives in one of the richest suburban neighborhoods in Connecticut, and, you know, she's totally eccentric, you know. I mean, she...
You were at her, I guess, she and her husband, they renewed their vows. You were there, right?
Yeah, in a hobo ceremony because they had attended a hobo convention in Iowa a couple of years earlier and had seen other couples renew their vows hobo style. So they brought in a hobo minister and some hobos who played music, and they had a hobo wedding ceremony, reaffirmation of their wedding vows 55 years later.
Do eccentrics live longer, John?
They do. That's one of one of the very interesting facts of Dr. Week's study was that they live longer and they're healthier and happier than normal people.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because they don't have the stress of trying to fit in or to belong or to worry or fret about what family or friends or neighbors are thinking about them. All that kind of pressure is off them. And as a result, I mean, statistically, they go to the doctor far less than the rest of society does.
Our society tends to have an odd relationship with eccentrics. We tend to relegate eccentrics away or make fun of them, ostracize them. Why do you think we do that? Do you think it's because we don't understand what eccentricity is?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. I think there's some, that they suspect that eccentrics are really rather worthless individuals who don't make a proper contribution to society when, in fact, as you can see in the film, you know, they indeed do everything else but that. I mean, they are very productive, very caring, very giving individuals by and large, and very involved with their society. And I don't know, I think there's also a certain fear of people who are different, you know. I mean, fears, all those stupid fears about are they, you know, mentally ill or are they sick people or all that sort of stuff, I think, you know, accounts for some of it. And then, of course, you know, I mean, some of the greatest people of our times have been eccentrics, you know, Alexander Graham Bell, an eccentric, Glenn Gould, eccentric, you know. But the list is endless of, you know, Edison,
mm-hmm.
you know, Einstein, you know.
Yeah.
All certifiably eccentric in their own rights, but brilliant people, and certainly brilliant people who made a contribution, a huge contribution, regardless of what field they were in, you know.
Yeah, that struck me about the folks in London that you talked to, the guy with the raving loony party.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like, you know, a sort of comical sort of figure. But, I mean, if you think about some of the things that they've proposed over the years, he gave you a list, didn't he, in the film of some of these proposals, and they did come about because of, I don't know if it was them necessarily, maybe it was.
Well, I think it was, so they can claim certain credit for things like, you know, they were the first to, want to have the voting age lowered to 18, you know, and everybody at the time, we're talking 30, 40 years ago now, thought that was preposterous. It was literally a laughing matter. But then, you know, here we have kids as young as 16 now voting in referendums in Scotland, and nobody thinks that's crazy or outlandish, you know. So.
Yeah, the Beatles have knighthoods.
Beatles have knighthoods.
Yeah. What do you
think? Your pet can get a passport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Passports for pets, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if some of the other things they're advocating will ever come to pass. It would please me greatly if fluorescent dog food, you know, was actually a topic, you know. Or even more practically now, seriously, every guy in the audience understands this. They want to have socks sold in packages of three, so that when one disappears into the laundry, you've got to replace it.
You've got a spare, yeah.
Now, that makes sense. That
exactly.
Isn't loony, I don't think,
no.
At all, no.
Now, what do you think makes an eccentric? I mean, you mentioned the duck lady, Laura K. Prophet.
Right.
She talked in the film, and it was quite heartbreaking, about some of the abuse that she suffered, and some of the things in the past that perhaps contributed to her eccentricity. There's not one thing that happens in the past, is there, that triggers this, or or is one born with this, or what do you think happens for one to become eccentric?
You know, Joe, that's the toughest question of all. I wrestled with that all through the filming and the editing of this film, through all the interviews and all the encounters with them, with is it nature or is it nurture? Can you raise an eccentric? Does it run through families? Well, sometimes it does, and there's a notable example in the film of Lucian Freud, who was the grandson of Sigmund Freud, who was an eccentric, and, you know, the eccentricity clearly has gone through five generations now of the Freud family. But then you have, well, all sorts of examples of people, you know, growing up, none of their siblings are you know, at all, you know, other than normal, whatever, like Gary in San Francisco. As there's him and five brothers all follow, you know, the normal paths and do the normal things, and Gary doesn't, and his father tries to beat him into conformity, and even that fails to, you know, turn around, as it were. So, I mean, what is it in his case, you know? I mean, he's just born, you know, born that way, you know.
So there's a lesson in this film for people. Do you think everyone should cultivate their own uniqueness? I mean, it'd be a pretty boring place if everyone were the same, right?
Absolutely. I hope it encourages people to, you know, come out of the closet a little bit. We all have our own little secret desires and odd sort of things that we have back there somewhere. And I think to deviate from the norm, if it encourages that, I hope it be therapeutic.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And there's also a lesson here that we ought to treat people better who are eccentric, with sensitivity, with dignity.
Yeah, they deserve our respect. I mean, they march to a different drummer. They, you know, go their own way and whatever. But that's no reason to treat them harshly or be even critical of them. I mean, as I say, I find them by and large to be, you know, wonderful, funny, entertaining, caring, and contributing members of our society.
Are you working on another film now, John?
I am, actually. I'm going to start shooting in January a film about thalidomide victims. It'll be my third film that I've done with thalidomide victims, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this is such a great film. It's as I said off the top, it's heartbreaking at times, but it's also quite uplifting. It's nice talking again. Congratulations, John.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
The screening's Wednesday, the 8th of October at the Rio, 7 p.m. Friday, the 10th of October at SFU Woodward's. That's at 1:15 p.m. VIFF.org for tickets. John Zaritsky joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.